Hey guys, welcome back to Book Talk Made Me.
Really intense.
You were so good. I had to stop looking at you, and I'm like, I'm just gonna focus on my mic.
It's the blueberries.
Because it was the crescendoing down. Or I don't know what's the opposite of crescendoing, because I think it's when it gets higher, but like the
decrescendo.
Decrescendo. There we go.
I don't know. Is that a word?
Right. I'm pretty sure this recording just starts off and Bridget going,
ah! My eardrum, it did pop a little bit.
Just I'm sorry. No. And that's what me being away from the mic. If anyone hasn't seen Emperor's New Groove, go watch it, because that's what we talk about at the beginning of every episode.
Anyway, welcome back to Book Talk Made Me, the podcast where we're talking about all your favorite books from Book Talk, Bookstagram, and BookTube, which I just learned was a thing. I'm Caitlin, joined by my hosts, Bridget and Hilda.
Hi.
And we're talking about a book today that's been making its rounds on TikTok.
I will say book is using the term loosely.
Correct. And here's why. It's because this is actually in a little bit of a departure from what our normal romantic-y reads are. This is a fanfic. And if you're like, what? A fanfic? I'll say, hold the phone, dear friend.
Because okay. You can't even say it's far from our normal, because this is right up our alley.
Oh, no, it is. Like a morally right gray. Yeah. In the sense that we just don't read fanfics. We don't cover them. But this, for all intents and purposes, reads like a book. I mean, like, it's good. It's well written, I should say. Well written. It is good, too. So we're talking about Manacled, the Dromione Harry Potter fanfic. And if you're like, Dromione, what the heck? This is the love story between Draco Malfoy and Hermione. And really, this is kind of set in like an alternate universe.
Yes.
I'll get into the timeline and all of that. But this is Manacled. Now, if you have seen it the way I saw it on TikTok, it's everyone being like, ah, Manacled, I'm so excited to read this. And then it is immediately cut to, in their TikToks, them sobbing hysterically at the end of this. Now, Bridget just did finish this a mere 5 minutes ago before we recorded.
I still have to finish the epilogues. Like, there's three chapters. There's a good chunk for the epilogue. But, yes, I understand now the TikToks. And I want to say the TikToks made me wait to read it until we absolutely had to, because I've heard about this book since I joined Book Talk, like, 2 to 3 years ago, and, you know, I just pass on by.
Oh, and also just want to mention the author goes by Senlinyu, S-E-N-L-I-N-Y-U.
Yes, and so if you're wondering, guys, this has been on TikTok for a while now, why are you just getting into this? And I'll say we've had this on our list of things to read and get into, but it got bumped when we saw TikTok, saw the news that this is being published into a book, the free version that's out on AO3 for this to do edits. Now, my sister Colleen, friend of the pod, sister of the pod, let me know that when this usually happens, they have to edit the characters out. So like they can't publish the story and make profit off of it as part of the Harry Potter world because she doesn't own the rights to Harry Potter. Now, I don't know if there's some kind of book deal happening within that. But all to say, if you want to read it in its current form, the way we read it, with all the Harry Potter characters and worlds, like I don't know if this story would still hold up if you didn't have that.
I think it will.
Base knowledge. Like if it was just like Joe and Cindy and they were falling in like for this, you know?
So it'll be interesting to see because it's an alternate universe of a series that we're all familiar with. I feel like the world building could be kept to a minimum. Like mm-hmm. She introduced some like new concepts, but they fit in to the Harry Potter worlds that we know of. You know, is she still going to be in like a magical world, or is she just going to turn this into a straight up like a war novel, a fantasy war novel and some like
I could be down with a fantasy war novel.
So I'll be interested in seeing like what is her new background? Because then she would have to spend some time doing world building. Also, I'm assuming that this is a woman.
Right. We're just using she as the guy.
Yeah, because it's Women's Empowerment Month.
Right.
So Women's History Month, sorry. So,
so all to say, if you want to read this version, it is still up on AO3 to download. And I think we did it several different ways. I think I downloaded the doc and was able to upload it directly to my Kindle. So that's how I read it. I know Colleen, who I just mentioned, read it directly off AO3. I think you guys also, like Bridget, you downloaded it to your ebooks, right? That's how you did it?
Yep. Downloaded it as, I think, some sort of file and uploaded it to my iPad. It's an EPUB.
Yeah. I downloaded it as a PDF, and when I did that and I opened it in iBooks or whatever, and you can't control the font, but Bridget did some investigating, and if you download it as an EPUB, you can control the font size.
And if you download it as a PDF into your Kindle like I did, and I was like, I have tiny baby eyes. Oh, that's the new name?
Mm-hmm. And that's the author, so you were correct.
She's a girl.
Correct.
Nice.
So yeah, so it's still up right now. You can download it. If you download it as a PDF, I just turned my iPhone to the side so it's horizontal, and then that was a much more manageable text size for me to read. I actually found out there's an audio version available on Spotify. So if audio is your medium, there's an audio version.
I heard the same thing after I posted it on my Bookstagram, and then I also found out that there's a spinoff with a certain character from this book. And I don't want to tell you guys because I don't want to like spoil it, the ending. So
I did hear – so Colleen loosely told me about this as well because she finished it before I did. So that's how we found this book, how we heard of it. Would love to know if you guys are reading along with us. If you've read it before, I know this is not the first Hermione fanfic out there, but it's the first one we've read and I think the most wildly popular one known, at least on TikTok.
Can I just have like a random comment to put in?
That's what this podcast is. So I've always
seen the cover, right? And it's of, now that I've read the book, I know what the cover is. But in passing, it just looks like a woman with one big, large uniboob.
What?
Yes.
I am going to this picture.
I have always thought it just looks like that.
So this and then, is what you're thinking is a
yes!
boob?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought it was okay. One like really large boob with a nipple on it.
So
was
this
like,
Draco person is just one man. Like you don't see the back of someone's head.
No, not at all. Not for like up until I read the book and then I was like, oh, that. I thought that was a woman too. That's how pretty Draco was. I thought it was just some woman with a bun.
What in the thesis is happening here, Bridget?
Are you okay?
No, that was my first reaction.
Are those blueberries or some like psychedelic mushrooms, my friend?
No, man. I've had this thought since the first time I saw the cover 2 years ago and I was like, what?
Okay, so to be fair, if you're like, what are you guys talking about? The cover picture is Malfoy, Draco Malfoy, facing you, the reader, and then Hermione Granger back is towards you, the reader, and she's in like a Handmaid's Tale bonnet. So you see like this wide brim circle and then like a narrow bun where – like a narrow, smaller circle where her bun would be, which looks like a boob with a nipple.
According to Bridget.
I did not make that initial instant connection.
I have no clue what this book about, but it looks freaky.
Have you taken those internet quizzes? Like, what do you see first? And this explains your trauma.
I always get served the ads. I'm like, I can't take this because I already know most of my trauma. And I'm like, I don't really want to open Pandora's box up there.
No, we've got a woman with a pretty woman with a unicorn, a uniboob, a giant like uniboob. Like, we don't need to know. There's no more diving we need to go into.
But isn't that – it does look like that now that you – take another gander.
I can see how you would see that. I don't see that, but I can see how you would.
But initially when you saw it, you realized that was two separate people and that was like a person wearing a bonnet?
Yeah, I did.
What the fuck?
So this is a good segue actually if you're like, how the hell does that make sense? But yes. So this story is very closely tied to Handmaid's Tale. Where if you've seen the show on Hulu, it's a very dark dystopian future. And we'll get into it in a little bit. But just all to say, we're going to lead right into some timelines and trigger warnings on this before we get into it. So you heard us talk about how this is sort of an alternate universe. And Manacled splits from the Harry Potter canon after the end of Harry Potter and the Order of Phoenix. So that's where –
if
you're up to that point, this is where these two timelines diverge. Instead of good triumphing over evil, Voldemort and his followers won the magical war against the Order of the Phoenix and killed Harry Potter. This is not a spoiler. That's not a spoiler. It's literally what we're going to read, like the first line in the book synopsis. Also worth noting from a trigger warning from this book and from the rest of this podcast that rape and non-consensual sex are a significant and ongoing aspect of this plot. So if that is triggering to you or brings up some feelings that you don't want to get into, don't read this book and don't listen to this podcast because we don't want to make any darker feelings darker for you or make anything uncomfortable for you. So this is your warning. It's going to get dark. And this is also like, it's just a very dark book where Harry Potter's books are for kids. This is very much an adult novel with some darker themes that we're going to get into and explore.
I will say that the author is not gratuitous.
No.
And the actions that do occur make sense in the plot once everything is revealed. Mm-hmm. However, definitely it can be very triggering and very like uncomfortable. And I think, was like, why am I reading this a couple of times?
Given the dark material, I think the author did a great job. It can be a fine line to walk, and I think she walked it very well. And what's interesting about this book too, because it is a fanfic, there's trigger warnings before she gets to that point to be like, hey, this is the chapter where this happens in, and this is what you can expect.
Right.
And I thought that that was very refreshing.
I was going to say that as
well. And considerate, yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite things about how she set up this book, was that she gave you the trigger warnings at the beginning, but then also like before the chapter, there were chapter notes, and then she would give you like a, hey, FYI, this is happening here. Feel free to skip ahead if you need to. Also, this is what this means. And she gives you a heads up. So compared to some of the other books I read where sometimes trigger warnings weren't even on them, kudos.
Yeah, I like that. And on a much lighter note, what was interesting too about this, and this is one of my thoughts I wanted to share earlier, later, is that she has fan art linked at the end of each chapter. So if there's any scenes that are impactful or important, there's fans that linked to it, or fans that drew it. And so she linked back to each and every one of them. And I thought that was such a cool tie-in to support people who are supporting you. And I say, take note, authors, because I think that that could be a very cool tie-in to support the artistic community around the book talk world. Because there's some good art. And you know we're diving into the fan art. Like, I got to see what these men look like.
Right. But I don't think authors who publish or make money off of their books would be able to use it, because
probably not. They're profiting off.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe this is a for-profit scheme. We can be like, hey, I'll pay you a portion of this. You create some bomb-ass fan art and we'll just keep this ball rolling.
I mean, I think they do that already.
Do they?
Yeah. Some authors have them like fans.
Well, they'll commission them, but it's not like linked within the book.
No, you just buy like the printouts. Like,
right.
They'll commission them, have it for sale on their website.
Or commission it to be commissioned like six, and then you layer them throughout the book. This is a whole new world.
A whole new
world. The world is your oyster. Okay, so we've got spoiler warnings. We've got trigger warnings out the door. Let's get into the overdramatic, dramatic book synopsis. And usually these are pretty long, and one of us will take it. However, this is two sentences, so I'll just do it. As I said, it's not a spoiler because this is exactly what happens in the first sentence of this book. Harry Potter is dead. In the aftermath of the war, in order to strengthen the might of the magical world, Voldemort enacts a repopulation effort. Hermione Granger has an order secret, lost but hidden in her mind, so she is sent as an enslaved surrogate to the High Reeve until her mind can be cracked.
Dun, dun, dun.
Also, sent as an enslaved surrogate. Poof. That was a tongue twister.
Those are a lot of S's.
Oh, it was. Anyway, I digress. Let's get into some thoughts and feelings on this. So, Hilda, I'm going to throw it to you as the person who had the most thoughts thus far. Oh, I'm sorry. Before I get to you throwing it to you, I also just want to say this is part one, because this was over 1,000 pages in this book. And as we like to say, a lot happens. And so this is about the first 25 chapters of the book is where we thought would be the most logical point to break this off to and bring it to you as part one. And then part two we'll deliver to you guys next. So this is up to first 35% of the book, maybe.
Okay.
So this stops off right before the flashbacks. And if you know, you know. So okay. Hilda, walk me through your thoughts on the first 50%.
Whose idea was it to read this? It was me. I did not have the emotional stability to read this in the dead of winter. Yeah. It's good.
To be fair, it's gripping.
I've been an emotional wreck this entire week. Now, the weather in Atlanta has not been great. So I'm sure there's some, like, you know, seasonal affective disorder also going on. But I have not been well.
I was going to say the rest of us live in Florida where
seasonal depression reading this
still happens. It's just in your head.
It's just called depression.
It's just depression that I call seasonal depression to make it festive.
Yeah, it was me because I was like, I want to feel something. I want to feel pain. I want to feel this. So sorry if I've dragged you guys along to this.
But I'm literally like, what happened was we've all seen the TikToks and we've heard about it. Caitlin saw that it was becoming published and I saw it like – the same TikTok, but I was just like, oh, okay, cool. I'll download it. And then when I get time, and then you sent it to us and was like, hey, you need to download it now. And then I panicked and I downloaded it immediately. And then we were, what are we going to read? What are we going to read? Oh, we have this downloaded on our phones.
Yeah, we literally were like, screw the schedule. Let's put this one to the top.
And then we cried for a week straight.
I mean, really, I think I shared on our Instagram today, like, we're on the last 40% of this book. I think, Hilda, you're slightly behind. Bridget just finished. Yeah. I'm in the middle. And the group chat was popping around with a lot of crying emojis last night. A lot of sad faces.
It's just
– look, you know when you go to sleep with tears in your eyes?
Yeah, and I wake up like Voldemort with my eyes like half slits.
That was me this morning.
It's been an emotional roller coaster.
I'm so glad that we did not read this book on, like, my special week of the month because I would have been done.
Yeah, I think I told you guys that. I'm a superhuman week of the month. So this is just
– yeah, if we read this, like, next week, I would have been, like, boohoo crying. The tears were there and then one or two dropped, but
– I told Hilda. I was at the point where, like, I wasn't actively crying, but I just couldn't stop –
the trickle.
The leakage. The trickle. Yeah, like, yeah. A constant trickle coming down my face.
And I've had that, like, I don't know, that pit in my chest.
It's the gripping sensation.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just, like, so many – I haven't felt these many emotions in a while. So it's, like, I'm not emotionally dead inside.
Yay.
I just need to feel something.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to make you feel something.
This book is heart-clenching. Heart gripping or heart clenching? What is the right way to say
it? It's both. I'm clenched and gripped.
Yeah.
I will say, though, it's because we said it's 1,000 pages. This is a big ass book. And we don't necessarily see it because we're e-reading this as digital downloads. But we kept saying, like, I have been reading for hours and I am like 3 percentage points higher.
It took me a solid week to get through this book. And that was me sacrificing the sleep I was finally catching up on. I would just like stay up till like 11, 12.
Oh, I was up till like 2 a.m. one time reading it. I'm like, oh, I finally made it to 35%. And I was like at 22 the day before. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that first half, because it's so traumatic, really feels like it's dragging on.
Like you're slugging through the mud. Like I gotta get through this.
I've been falling asleep like at 8, but then reading between like 12 and 4, and then I'm like, oh, I should probably take a nap before I have to wake up.
It's just called sleep. Like I should probably go to sleep.
It's so funny that you're back on the schedule. This is the schedule that you were on sleeping when I first had my son. So like when I was up, you were up, and that's how we started talking about books.
Yeah.
We're back, fans baby. In the middle of the night. So
we're back.
Hilda's back. I'm solidly asleep. Bridget's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, depends on the kid.
Did I miss out on like the fan fiction craze of like the early 2010s? Because I wish I hadn't.
Considering I didn't even know it was a thing.
I still feel like fan fiction is very popular right now.
I mean, the Hurricane Wars was like essentially like a fanfic sort of inspired.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Well, the Kylo, is it Kylo Ren? Is
yeah.
Yeah, right? It's Kylo Ren and Rey.
That's an entire community out there.
I mean,
that's
well,
obsessed with them.
I don't know. Clearly, I need to be dabbling in some fanfics more.
But even like majority of Allie Hazelwood's books are like based off of that couple.
I've never read anything by her.
What? Julie Soto, too.
I think they're both a little bit too contemporary for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. You guys are fantasy. I'm a romance reader.
You guys are like fantasy reader. I like a dragon and some magic. What can I say? But I do have one waiting in my Kindle library, that one you recommended to download. The one that I still told you last time, like it just came due and I keep like renewing it. I'm like, I will listen to this. Anyway, Hilda, you have another point that I agreed with. So please just lay it on us.
Fuck Harry Potter.
Bro. Yes. How many times did I text you, Caitlin?
So many and like, times. And I was like, and 1,000%.
Who says that? Who says that? People that have read the story.
Honestly, I didn't really like Harry that much at the end of the series. So
these flashbacks, they're killing me. I mean, Hermione was always my favorite character in Harry Potter. So I don't know. This is mind fucking Harry Potter for me.
Harry and was then, such a dick. And I was like, oh,
such
fuck
a dick.
This guy.
Ron was a dick too. Ugh.
But
everybody
okay, so,
was a dick.
You know, I think it's like Deathly Hallows or whatever when they're looking for the Horcrux.
Yeah.
And like Ron is like an asshole to Hermione the entire time. That's the Ron that's basically in this book, except for he's not in love with her. He's just like a straight up asshole.
Well, it was also supposed to be like the effects of the Horcrux.
Yeah. Valid. But I think if you were upset with him then, you would be like, this tracks. And then Harry just continued on with his high noble bullshit and just guilted her. Gaslit her the entire fucking time.
Like, was he that like high and noble in this? I'm going to need to go reread
a little bit,
the series.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know because there's a couple of times where I feel like he tried to use the Cruciatus curse and he tried to do Avada Kedavra. I think especially in book 5 right after Sirius got killed. I think he tried.
Oh, maybe.
So like I don't know. I feel like this was a very extreme like purposely made to you were supposed to dislike him.
Correct.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no other way to interpret his behavior in this book other than extreme dislike.
Towards the end of the series, you know, he carried that whole, this is my fight, this is my battle, I'm not bringing my friends into this, like I'm gonna have the entire world on my shoulders. That was still him in this book, and it was like extreme.
Yeah, all of them, because you've got Moody, you've got
Shacklebolt.
I was like Kingsley.
Shacklebolt.
Is it really
Shacklebolt? Kingsley.
Yeah.
Bolt. I forgot his last name. I thought his last name was Kingsley until they said his last name. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's him.
Kingsley Shacklebolt.
Yeah, we didn't get enough time with that guy in the first one. Anyway.
You mean the real one?
The real one, yeah. So I meant like the real series.
Okay, and my last thought. Is Manacled Draco Malfoy a contender for the White Shoes? Okay. I still can't get over baby Tom Felton being like, ooh, Potter, and that terrible acting that they all did in like the first, you know.
How dare you call that terrible?
And the first like three movies because they were children. But my goodness.
Oh, even the way he said like mudblood a couple times. I saw baby Tom Felton. But
he does a little screwed up face like,
I mean, he grew by the end of the book, the series.
I would like to see okay, so here's the thing. In the fanfic that is linked at the end of each chapter, it's great that people are sharing their art, but this is not the AI enhanced fanfic that we're seeing of like A Court of Thorns and Roses characters or Throne of, like, we're not seeing those ones. These are like hand drawn And so sometimes it leaves
– these are like charcoal drawings.
Charcoal drawings. It does lean a bit on the Tom Felton character. I'm like, I need a fresh interpretation of this. You know what I mean? Like, I need someone else to do it a little bit better. And then
my brain did it better.
Yeah. And like, the thing is too, like, I was an adult when the movies came out, even though I'm not necessarily that much older than the actors in mm-hmm. real life. So like, I don't know, it feels a little pervy to be attracted to them.
Yeah, but you're luckily not attracted to me. Like their 10-year-old selves. You're attracted to
No, I know, but still like I don't know. Right. I don't know.
It's luckily for me, I kind of like grew up with the series as it was coming out, so I was right on the spot. Their audience course. Was me.
Bridget was like, gray character? A dark character? Hello, I'm in.
I was like, do I like this? Oh, hello, Draco. And then, you know, everyone was like, oh my god, he's the bad guy. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I want to be Gryffindor. But now that I've accepted my Slytherin. Can get it.
Yeah.
Right. Now that I've accepted my Slytherin.
She's like, roots, he can slither into like, these pants.
He sure fucking can.
Right. And pretty much my sentiments echo both of you. I fuck Harry Potter and Draco Malfoy. I'm looking at you in some different kind of way.
That's a different
light.
It
was unexpected. There's a part later where Hermione's like, I have Stockholm Syndrome. I'm like, I think I do too. Because I'm like, this is something. All right. So let's get into what happened in this book. So there's a couple things I want to talk off to set the scene a little bit because it does vary. So Hogwarts has become a prison after the last battle. It's a prison now. It's no longer a school. Also, Sussex, which is not a place that is known in the OG Harry Potter world. This is where dark experimentation happens. It's kind of like Auschwitz is like the best way I could kind of liken it to something you may know. And also it's important to note that we find out Hermione bombed it, killing a bunch of Voldemort's followers. And she is revered through this. So like the entire book, they're like, this is the Hermione Granger, the one who bombed Sussex, the one who killed all these people. And so like it comes up and up and up again. So I just want to preface this by saying she's got some street cred coming into this.
Are we shocked though? Because like she was the best character.
I mean, she was so prepared. She had her little beaded bag of like all the things. She's like, oh, like, you need
a tent? An enlargement.
Well, yeah.
Charm.
They were so unappreciative and ungrateful for our girl.
Even in the real books.
Oh, yeah.
Even in the real books. And even then, she's like, I mean, in these books, you know, they're all running off to battle and she with like a wish and a prayer. And she's like, hold on. I have all the materials needed for this mission to succeed. And everyone's like, oh, great. You're here. Now we'll succeed. You're like, oh, God. Bunch of dum-dums. So let's start off with how this book opens. This book opens with Hermione in a dark cell. Initially, we have no idea how long she's been kept in solitary confinement, but she's got light and sound deprivation due to a silencio curse. So she's held in isolation. She can't hear anything. And we come to find out it's been 16 months, which is
crazy.
Crazy. And her magic has been suppressed this entire time with copper cuffs. So she's just been surviving within her own brain with no light, no access to magic, and not hearing a single sound. I don't think I'd last like a week like that. Like I'd have to think. And she didn't even know how long it's been there. She's like, the food's randomized. I have no idea how much time has passed.
She couldn't even talk to herself.
No, because she was in a silencio curse. Like she couldn't hear anything.
Yeah. It's not she couldn't hear. She couldn't talk and the room was like – had wards, so she couldn't hear anything outside. So it was like a double whammy.
Yeah, brutal. And you know what's bad? When even Voldemort's people are horrified to learn she's been kept like this for so long. And who did this to her? Oh, that fucking bitch, Professor Umbridge. Who
fuck that
is,
bitch.
Fuck that bitch. Fuck that heffa. All those things we say, it's that bitch. She's also the warden of the prison, which is Hogwarts. And she kept her down there this entire time under the guise. She's like, oh, the records have been lost. I forgot she was there. I was so busy with all the prisoners before. And obviously everyone's worried that Hermione's gone insane because how could you keep sane for that long? And everyone is like, no, you tried to kill her. Like, it's clear as day you tried to kill her. And I'm going to report your ass to Voldemort unless you get in line and like get her access to medical care. And it's worth noting that every time we mention Umbridge, we see Umbridge in this, she's described as having a pendant. So it's made note of the pendant she's wearing. That's what I'll say on that. Hermione is taken to the infirmary until the effect of her torture can be addressed. Again, everyone is completely shocked. She's like lucid and forming complete sentences. And they notice in their checkups and diagnostic scans of her that her brain chemistry, her brain physically has been altered. And she's horrified. She's like, what do you mean my brain has been altered? And everyone's like, well, how could it not be? Because you've been kept in a cell with deprivation for so long. And because she couldn't use her magic due to the magic suppressing cuffs, the magic walled off parts of her brain and basically fragmented her memories. So she's got no memory of the war, no memory of certain things that have happened. It's a little unclear where things start to get, like where she starts and where she remembers. But they are intent on getting her healthy and fixed. Now, why would they be so horrified to hear of bad treatment for a prisoner? Why would they invest so much time and effort in getting her healed? Well, because they want her to be part of the repopulation program. Having the Hermione Granger being part of the repopulation efforts is exactly the kind of fucked up message that Voldemort is trying to portray to any remaining cells of the Order or the Resistance. But because she's been in a cell this whole time, she has no idea what this means. Like, she's just like, what? Another captured witch from the infirmary keys her into this, fills her in on this, who was from the Order. She says, Ginny was the first body they brought back. Everyone thought that Hermione had either escaped or had died or disappeared because there was just no trace of her. Because now we know she was in a cell. And basically, this is, like we said before, has become the Handmaiden's Tale. Voldemort wants to repopulate all the pureblood families, which have been dying off. And he started a breeding program, with the half-blood and muggle-born prisoners. And the girls can't escape due to the cuffs they have, the same cuffs that Hermione had on during her imprisonment. And anyone who tries to escape is hunted down by the High Reeve. Who is that, we're asking? No one knows. He's always seen wearing a mask. He's the Dark Lord's right hand and responsible for mass executions and the killing curse, Avada Kedavra. He's Avada Kedavraing everyone. And I don't like to name drop the names they talked, but I feel like it's important to know. McGonagall, Moody, Neville, Dean, Seamus, Professor Sprout, Madame Pomfrey, Flitwick, and Oliver Wood.
Everyone's dead.
Like, not Oliver Wood. Who's the captain of their Quidditch team? Yeah.
Everyone is dead.
It's setting the stage that it is everyone is dead. And right. The girls that are alive really wish they weren't at this point.
And I do want to say that Voldemort had special interest in her when they captured her initially after the war or on the last battle, because he thought she had important information. And the fact that she has forgotten everything when he went into her mind and saw that it was set up the way it was and she couldn't access her memories, he was like, she's hiding something and we're going to get to the bottom of it because he's a paranoid person, thing.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Being. So as part of her inspection, Voldemort wants to see his newest prisoner again. He wants to see her again. And in doing so, we meet a familiar face. Snape is brought there. And Snape tells Voldemort that she's locked away, to your point, Bridget, all of her memories, and they're completely sealed. From his attempts, so Voldemort's attempts to get in, but also Hermione. Like, she doesn't know. He can't get in. It's just the way it is. It's like her mind has made a defensive barrier around all her memories about the war. And as your point, Bridget, Voldemort is extremely suspicious. He's like, she's hiding something. He wants access to her war memories ASAP and thinks that the Order is still up to something. He thinks that there's still remnant parts that are causing mischief, and he wants to know what she's hiding. Unfortunately, Professor Snape can – or he's not professor anymore. I just call him by his formal title. But unfortunately, Snape cannot help him with this task and reminds the Dark Lord that he has been assigned to Romania to investigate rumors of insubordination. So this is the last time we see Snape for a little while. Now, one of the mind healers that are there in the room with them, with Voldemort, says, hey, I have a theory. And the theory is, if Hermione becomes pregnant, it may bring down the mind walls and allow access to her memories. However, it's extremely risky to do this while pregnant and could result in miscarriage because going to the mind of someone else is very traumatic. Therefore, his theory goes, we'll have to wait until after the baby's born. So, heretofore, ergo, they must get Hermione pregnant ASAP in order to get access to her memories. Ick. Horrifying in that thought. They suggest sending her to the High Reeves house because he is an exceptional legilimens and he can breed her and keep an eye on her memories. Of course, he's married, but like, we don't care because this is care because this is the Handmaiden's Tale all over again.
Also, and his wife cannot have a child. Has been unable to
conceive. Correct. Yes. She cannot conceive. So this is looking like a win-win for them. We're going to get babies to repopulate and we're going to crack into Granger's mind and figure out what secrets she is hiding from us. So let's get into what happened next. Now, after going through, she gets healed enough where she's able to move through Handmaiden's training and she's sent to the High Reeves house. But first, let's touch on what this training is. So she is spelled to be quiet and obedient. They wear red robes and the weird wide brim bonnets. They can only kind of like look forward at a time. And they have enhanced cuffs so they cannot touch things that would bring themselves or others harm. So there's no way to unalive themselves from their situation. Because again, their focus is life and babies. There are no knickers, so they are constantly accessible. And they also can't move for 10 minutes after doing the deed to ensure a pregnancy. There are safety measures built in, of course, because we don't want this to be like sending them out to the wolves, which I thought was a nice way to do this. Because like it could have gotten real dark with some like torture scenes and like it just could have gotten dark. But they have safety measures. They have to be fed. They have to be cared for. No harm can come to them, like a beating or anything like that. Because the doctors would know every month they come to do their checks to make sure that they are in good health. Their cortisol levels are not spiked because they're, you know.
Stressed.
And to see if they're pregnant. So as Hermione arrives to meet the High Reeve, she's shocked to learn his identity. It's Malfoy. And he's quick to call her Mudblood and real quick with the insults. Like he's just back to being the same dick little kid we knew at Hogwarts.
Mudblood. Little yeah. Scrunched up face.
Yeah, he's like, you're just a Mudblood.
Baby Tom Felton was so cute. Pinches cheeks.
Okay, we're not doing baby. We're doing grown-ass man. Tom Felton. Or just grown-ass man, Draco. His wife, Astoria, she's there. She's jealous, cold, and somewhat unstable is what we're getting from her. And of course, she hates her being there with a fiery passion because it kind of points out the fact that she could not fulfill the High Lord's need to provide for the repopulation efforts. Hermione does have her own room, and she is watched over by a witch with blonde hair and a portrait who relays her every move to Draco, to Malfoy. Now, let's talk about her mental state here because this is a very important part of this. She was held in a box for so long without any access to light or sound. So everything and everything she sees, everything she touches is to the extreme of that where the skies are so big, the rooms are so big, everything is so bright, and she has severe agoraphobia. So even getting for her to leave this room causes her to break out in panic and panic attacks. Like she is really not doing well after you'd imagine, which makes sense. You were held in a box for 16 months. Like it's going to be a minute before you can just bounce back. Also, there's the trauma of being crucioed. Because that happened to her a couple times, fresh out of her cell box with Umbridge and Voldemort, I believe. So she's got tremors, her hand shakes from her muscles still spasm. Like there's still a lot of trauma healing from that. Also, there's the upcoming trauma of knowing what she has to fulfill, that she has to have a baby. No, she has to be raped 5 times a month. She has to get pregnant, then have a baby, only to have this baby ripped out from her and for her to continue doing this basically until her body gives out. So suffice to say, it has been a lot for her to take in and she is very much struggling in a dark place here. So let's talk about the physical and mental rape of what's happening here. So for the physical aspects of this, one is her fertile windows. It's a very cold, methodical approach to this. So he conjures up, she goes to his rooms. She's supposed to bathe before she goes. She goes to his rooms. He conjures a table. He bends her over. And that's that.
He does create a lubrication charm.
Yes. This happens throughout, so I'm kind of putting all these things here together. But every time he does this, sometimes he's drinking before he does it. There's a lubrication charm. There's a charm where he has to use to get it up every time, and a lube portion. So it's not horribly painful, but it's still very intrusive. And there's a couple times, I think it's one time at least, he throws up immediately after doing this. So in her mind, she's clocking these things that, like, this is weird. Not like weird, but like this is different than the way she thought it would be. And of course that happens 5 times a month. It's basically the same as that happens over and over until she, they're checking every month to see if she's actually pregnant. She's not, so this repeats. There's also the mental rape. So when they discover she's not pregnant, it means they can go prying into her minds because it is so traumatic. So remember, if she is pregnant, this could, prying into her brain could cause a miscarriage or cause the baby to have complications. And so now that they're not doing that, they can just start sort of poking around to see if anything's remembering. Do they have access to those walled off memories in her head? And she's like basically screaming in pain the entire time they're doing it. So it's like, it's not great. Also, every time she's not pregnant, she's brought before Voldemort for him to do the same thing. And so he's seeing through her memories of Malfoy raping her and doing this all over again. So this is a lot for her to continue to relive and be like physically assaulted for this. So needless to say, she's in a dark place. She tries to throw herself off a balcony. Malfoy grabs her in time because he's alerted by the cuffs that are spelled to him with a trace. He knew she was in danger. And she decides that the best way she can survive and potentially escape is to get close to him. Also, when Malfoy was kind of going to her brain, he saw that she was trying to come up with plans to escape and maybe she can kill him or trick him into killing her. And he sees this right away because obviously it's to go in there. So like there's really nowhere for her to hide. She's got no recourse to escape. All throughout this time, Malfoy seems to be more and more shocked that she doesn't have access to her memories. It's almost like he thought she was maybe kidding or hiding it. But as time goes on, he's like, you really don't remember. Like, you really don't remember me. You don't remember the war. And she's like, no, I don't remember anything. Also, she gets really into folding paper cranes. This feels like it's going to be important later. I don't know. But she folds like hundreds and hundreds of paper cranes. Bridget, don't tell us.
Gives her something to do.
Yeah. It gives her something to do, I suppose. But well, it just seemed.
Because she can't read because Astoria is such a bitch that she like warded the books.
She can't write because it's like considered a weapon. She has nothing to do. And so her dad taught her how to do it. And so origami. She's just passing time. And I guess like it was, if you create 1,000, you got a wish. So to her, it's just like, I'm going to create 1,000. Hopefully I'll get a wish. And if by any luck, maybe I'll make it out of this alive or, you know, I don't know. People in prison, they find shit to do.
So she gets very into folding paper cranes. There is attack at Hogwarts. And oh no, Professor Umbridge dies in an apparent order attack.
Ooh-hoo.
Killed straight through the locket / pendant she wore all the time. Are we sad? Fuck no. Glad that bitch is dead. Wish it was more painful. But my girl Hermione's kind of becoming more with it. She's worked through her trauma and her agoraphobia, and she has been going outside and getting more access to sunlight and daylight. And she's kind of getting used to her surroundings and starting to put two and two together. So she makes a rather impressive, I'd say, leap. Not a leap. Like, she just really puts the clues together. She makes the connection that the pendant Umbridge has always worn was actually a Horcrux and that the Order had figured it out. But what does this mean? She's figured it out, of course, that Voldemort is dying. And she surmises that the repopulation effort is really just a ruse to distract all his followers because he doesn't have much time left, but he wants them focused on something else that is not specifically him and not the war ongoing because he doesn't have the strength to do it. Now, it appears that Malfoy is regularly tortured for failing to find out who led this attack and ultimately ended up killing Umbridge. Of course, he doesn't necessarily deny, but he doesn't tell her she's right. He's just like, how did you come to that conclusion? Which means she's right. Also, this happens a little bit later, but it just feels normal to put it in here too, that the news is leaked that Malfoy is in fact the High Reeve. And because this has come out into the press, he's tortured even more. So where she had those muscle spasms and finger twitching from the
Cruciatus curse.
Cruciatus curse. Thank you. More torture from the Cruciatus curse. It is happening to him. So every time she sees him interacting with him, he's having the muscle spasm. She can see he's starting to get more gaunt, more nervous, thinner. Like, stress is really getting to him. And are the rapes still happening throughout this entire time? Yes. But is she pregnant? No. So that must keep happening. Now, I do want to do a brief interlude and just – we're going to talk about this all at once. It doesn't really necessarily happen in an order. It kind of happens around here. But want to talk about Montague. So Montague is a figure that she sees coming to the Malfoy Manor. And he's like, do you remember me? I remember you. And at first she starts to have these false hopes like, oh my God, maybe he's part of the order. Should I know him? I should maybe know him. Maybe he's coming to save me. Because he's remarked about how when she does meet him, like, I never thought I'd see you in here. Wow. And we come to find out that he is Astoria's lover. So Malfoy's wife's lover. But he's also a huge dick. And he attacks her during a New Year's Eve party, I believe is what it is, in the house. Montague is a death eater with a grudge. And of course, I mentioned it before, but he remembers her and she has no fucking clue who he is. Again, she thought she was like on her side. But he alludes to the fact that she stabbed him with some poison knives and he's still real bitter about it. He also was the one apparently to bring her in and told, I guess he made their initial request to Voldemort that she become his until Draco stole him. And this really almost turns into another rape scene, which was a bit hairy to see because he stupefies her. So she can't – was stupefied – was some kind of curse where like she's like, I can't really remember what's happening. And so like you as the reader are like,
yeah.
Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Like, this poor girl's been through enough. But thankfully, Malfoy steps in. Now, Montague meets a grisly end. And I mean grisly, like we're pulling out intestines and it happens there. And then he goes to like St. Mungo's to get cared. And then Malfoy does it again, like fully ends it. And we'll come back to meet Montague later in the book, but just know that's how he died. Now, Astoria
are unhinged. Well deserved.
Yeah, well deserved. The lady of the house is pissed her lover was killed. Now, she admits to Hermione, like, her, look, me and Draco, we were never a love-filled marriage. Like, we barely even consummated it only when I was fertile and then we found out I was barren and I never saw him again until you started coming here. So they just had a facade of a marriage, not a real one. And she gets into this bitter rage and gruesomely tries to poke out Hermione's eye. Just like, whoa. And almost graphic. Nearly succeed. It was graphic.
This was more graphic than any of like the rape scenes. And correct. This was like, ugh. It was like, my eyes, my eyes. I know,
she's like, she feels it starting to like poke out and detach and like, ugh. So because of the cuffs, Malfoy is alerted to this, comes running over, and ultimately ends up banishing Astoria for some time. Like, don't worry, you'll never see her again. And in this, really all to say, we learn that Malfoy is a skilled healer. And when he brings in additional healers to help save her eye, they, you know, remark on how powerful of a healer he is and how did he know all these charms and potions to give her. And he nurses her back to health and they end up saving her eye. Now, the doctor at this point from Hogwarts, who's part of the repopulation program.
The breeding program.
Right. She's getting real miffed that she hasn't been pregnant yet. And she does end up giving her a love potion eventually. But the doctor's like, how are you guys doing this? She's like, well, he bounced me over a table. And even her is like, oh, a table? Like, you have to at least lay down. And so eventually she ends up giving her a love potion. Hermione's all kinds of hot and bothered. So the next time they do it, she has an orgasm, much to her horror and Draco's horror, who just, I think, runs off. And I think this is the time he actually throws up.
Because yeah, like, this is where he goes to the bathroom and throws
what?
Up.
And now, of course, we are thinking up to this point, he's just horrified and disgusted by her because she's a mudblood. What do we know?
Later oh, no. At this point, know. I was like, see, he's not comfortable with the situation.
He's not right. I'm like, he's not comfortable, but he's – I can see how one would think he's like, oh, well, he's just grossed out by this.
No, I was totally picking up on the – there's something going on.
Right, because even not, when – I think I did cold. Mention it, but even – right. They're having more of a banter back and forth. Like, he still ends up banter where it starts to get almost, like, warm and fuzzy. And then he ends it with insults and, like, storms off and disappears for a couple days. And this is where I just love that she told him this. She's like, I think I'm getting Stockholm syndrome. And he had to explain to her. He's like, what is this? What are you talking about? Because, of course, it's a muggle word that he has no idea. And she explains that when you're tortured, you start to catch feelings for someone and you mistake any kindness or slight kindness to them as feelings of love. And he's like, you don't have this. Stop. But in her mind, she's like, I think I do. And we're all thinking, I think I do too.
Well, we even do. From the beginning, he was like, whenever he would do something decent, he'd be like, don't go falling in love with me, I'm just doing this out of bare necessity. But he like would do stuff like walk with her out into the courtyard because she has agoraphobia, and he would help her through her anxiety attacks. And then eventually he bought her a really expensive pair of boots that was like had some
dragon sort of, hide boots,
yeah, that was able to heat from the inside so she would never become cold. And
he got a nice cloak.
Yeah, when he started giving her physical gifts that were super expensive, I was like, they have some sort of history, because now it's not just like a, oh, she's just some breeder, person, something right. I'm breeding. Like, he has feelings, but I was like, okay, we'll see what happens here. When he found out that he had to like bed her in, you know, facing her on a bed instead of over the table, I was like hoping at that point we would have found out that like he wasn't actually penetrating her and he was just like making an illusion. So it wasn't, but then I was sadly wrong, or they never thought, you know, confirmed or denied it. But then, you know, it happened. And I was like, damn it. I was just rooting for Draco not to be an asshole.
I know. And like, we're getting cracks in the facade, cracks in his facade. We're like, you're trying to paint a picture and I'm not seeing
right through it. I'm seeing right through it.
And I'm also like, and I like it. Ugh. So this, again, we all have Stockholm syndrome.
This is also like conflicted.
Conflicted.
So right. many conflicting feelings. And it's
also worth noting too.
I read a lot of dark romance.
I know. Bridget's like, this is par for the course. But it's also worth noting that I think there's like a party that's held the same night she's attacked by Montague, where the other women in the program are there and they're kind of like shuffled along as like a status. Sort of. And she kind of hears, because she's spying, that other women aren't as cared for as her. And she's starting to learn, like, well, Draco might be a monster, but he's not a monster necessarily to her in the way that some of these others are.
Yeah, like, so they're treating them like sex slaves.
Right. And she's kind of like, okay, it could be worse. Like, it could be worse.
Right. And then also, he has warded her entire wing of his manor. And her room. And when he finds out certain things that like his wife was doing, he would say, he would correct it immediately. So the wife had spelled out the books, and you know Hermione loves to read. So he was like, you can read the Daily Prophet here. So I think that was his way of like trying to get her to start remembering things and yeah. help her move along the process. But then you can like actually tell that he was so pissed off at his wife when he found out that she wasn't being fed food with salt in it.
Oh, yes. I skipped over that, but yeah.
I was like, you care. You care about her.
Right. Because as I mentioned, they're checking their levels, and she's like, your sodium levels are very, very low. And she's like, well, the food they gave me are basically like boiled vegetables. And like, she's like, I should just be grateful I'm getting food at this point, I suppose. And then the doctor's like, what's wrong with you? Like, she calls Draco in. She's like, what's wrong with you? Why are our sodium levels? So, like, I just love that any inconvenience that's wrong with her, he's like, they blame him.
And then she's like, my fucking wife.
Right. He's like, I had no idea. And then at that point, she's eating good.
He finds out that she can't do certain things. Like, she can't talk unless she's spoken to, and she has to be obedient and all that stuff. So he starts talking to her first so she can start having conversations back with him.
Right. And I think it even happens with the house elves. Like, there's something with the house elf where she's like, I can't speak unless I'm spoken to. Like, yeah, why didn't you tell the house elf? She's like, I couldn't. Like, I can't ask. And so all this begins to evolve. And so she eventually gets worried, you know, when he's gone off to Romania and he's not coming back at the regular frequency that she was used to before. And during her walks, where she's trying to tame her agoraphobia and go for walks, keep herself entertained, she runs into drunk Malfoy in the hallway. And there is a very, very hot makeout scene here.
Oh, wait, no. So this is the point where she was going through the house because he didn't show up for one of their sessions.
Mm-hmm. It's the middle of the night.
And like it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And he had skipped out on the sessions to come like raid her mind. And she got worried. She's like, oh my God, what if he's dead? Like what happened to him? So she goes looking for him and he steps out of his room drunk. And then they get a little makeout session.
I was conflicted. Well, I'm like, I really like this, but I'm also
But what he tells her, where he's like, you ruined me.
Yeah. If I knew how much It was like, if you knew how much this would hurt me or knew how much this would take from me, I wouldn't have – would have taken you in the beginning. Like, wouldn't have taken you at all. Yeah. So that was interesting. So very shortly after, the doctor returns and – Wait,
but then he, like, snaps out of it and then he insults her and he leaves.
Right. He insults her really badly.
Right. He goes from a 180. So, like, they're getting hot and heavy. I think, like, her moan. He moans as he's, like, kissing her neck and – he immediately stops and like goes back into cold Malfoy with the insults flying at her.
And he was and like, oh, point, I can make you or something. I can seduce
like,
you.
Yeah. It's like, it looks like you're accepting your place here. Like something really derogatory about that.
Right. But I think before at the New Year's Eve party, she was, when she was observing all of them, because she was hiding out looking at the party, she was noticing like the different masks that he has with the people and how he's faking it and stuff like that. So like she's been really observant with him and she notices when it slips. And so those are the moments I'm like,
that's your true man. That's him shining through. And then his mask snaps back into place. So the doctor comes and she's like, oh God, finally you're pregnant. And the news of that delivered basically just the way that is naturally sets her fragile state off into a panic attack. And this is where I was like, oh, this part made me tear up already. So Malfoy comes and he's like, why would you tell her that? Like, you can't just spring news on her that. Like, she's full on hyperventilating. And he's like, you have to breathe. You have to breathe. And she is just going through all the thoughts in her mind. And like, your wife just tried to poke my eye out. Like, what is going to happen when this child comes to this world and like has to live with you? And she begs Malfoy to protect the baby and not to let Astoria do anything to it. And he's like, I promise, like, nothing will happen to your baby. And I just
– I highlighted it in my book because I wanted to cry.
I think I cried at that point because she was just so panic-stricken that something was going to happen to the baby. And I also noted that he called it her baby, not my baby. Because, like – in theory, it's his heir. Like, the reason she's doing this is to produce him an heir. So, like, if he were any other person, he'd be like, no harm will come to my heir. Like, you have no part in this. This is me. This is all me. I thought that was interesting. And it's also very sweet that he gets her a book on being pregnant so she can, like, learn and read again because she's been
– this point, by this point, we know that she was a healer during the war,
right? We do. I think okay. We do because when she got her eyeball injured – she was trying to tell him, like, this is what you have to do. I was a healer.
Oh, also, he defended her to the program doctor.
Yeah.
And was like, well, she was this. And it sounded like a brag, like a, well, she's super qualified. And I was like, how do you know all this about her? Why are you talking about her like this? Like, why are you defending your girl like this? Because you love her? Do you love her, Draco?
Yupti does love her. And because of her pregnancy and the way that it's affecting her body and the magic, she starts to get really bad intense migraines. And they suspect that it has to do with her – like they said all along, if she's pregnant, her mental walls will start to break down. And because they are, she's getting terrible, horrible migraines. So one day she wakes up in a panic and she's worried that she has to be ready for something. And Draco's like, what's wrong? What's happening? She's like, I have to, something's happening. I have to be ready. And then in that moment, her memories break free. And that is where this ends tonight. But that's also where we then dive into the book into a series of flashbacks. And so we leave her with her memories coming back. And then what we read after this point is actually her memories that she had kind of walled away and stored away. And we're learning a whole different side of the characters we had previously learned before.
Right. So after she got pregnant, Draco or Malfoy was very protective of her, basically spent the entire time with her in the room, helping nurse her back to life. I do beg authors to start writing trigger warnings for severe morning sickness, because that was triggering.
That you suffered with that.
It was bad. Like, I was like, oh my God, I'm reliving this. Everything from the not being willing to look at the light to the headaches, the migraines. Like, I could not move. So I was like, God damn, someone put a trigger warning on this.
They should. It's a good point. So that is where we end today. I will say we spend another sizable chunk, like I think it's like the next almost 25 chapters are in the flashback before we come back to present time.
I'll tell you right now, I am at 71% and I'm still in a flashback.
Now I didn't.
I'm towards the end of a flashback, but
I didn't read the table of contents. I just slipped on through that, went right because I'm like, I don't care. Like, I saw that it's 1,000 pages. I'm just going to go through. So I didn't realize how long the flashbacks were. And I was like, every new chapter, I'm like, God damn, I'm still here. Oh my God, I'm still here. When am I getting out of a flashback? Because I think we're so attuned to being in shifting POVs. We're like, this is happening and this is happening and this is happening. And so my brain was just like, I'm still here?
Like, but I kind of liked it like this.
You didn't like it?
No, I liked it like this because then we got the entire story that we were missing and waiting for.
I didn't like it. I didn't
but
like
I it. But I also knew it was coming because I was looking at the table of contents trying to figure out how am I still at 35% when I've been reading for 4 goddamn days. Like, so I saw this flashback and I was like, oh, look, the flashbacks look like it's a good chunk of the book.
But then I could have done with like 5 chapters of flashback and like a current state check-in.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I could have done with a little back and forth.
I guess when you guys catch up, you would realize that it wouldn't have been able to work any other way.
So I didn't mind the flashbacks because we needed them, but a lot of the actions in the flashback were very repetitive. Yes. We could save that for part 2.
We will.
It was getting a little tedious.
This is where it started to feel like you're trudging through the mud a bit because you're like, okay. Yeah. X happens, Y happens, Z happens. Start again. X, Y, Z. Start again.
Yeah. Like, how many times is the same situation going to keep on happening? Like, it didn't need to be that long.
No.
If it was the same.
And you know, patterns. I will say, like, there's a time and a place for a good edit. We could have condensed this down if I'm being picky. Again, she's not a real published author. Like, this is a girl just writing for fun. And it was great.
Well, now she will be. So now she will be. I wonder what will happen with the edited work.
Like, I'm kind of curious to read it again just to see how much changes.
Oh,
I will
absolutely
be.
Want to read it again.
What was the title name you showed us?
I think it was like Alchemy or something.
Alchemized? Which is not a title that rolls off the tongue, if I'm being honest.
Alchemized, yep.
So Alchemized is the official title of this. We'll see.
We'll see when it comes out.
See where it takes us. All right, so that is where we are ending tonight. Let's get into some shout outs. All right. So before we get into shout outs, I want to give a quick shout out to everyone who has joined our recent Patreon account. If you would like to join, get insider information or book a one-on-one, well, 3-on-1 really. It's your very own Triceratops. As I said,
I was waiting for it
in the Patreon. It is the 3 of us on a Zoom call with you. If this interests you, you want more information, you want entry to our prizes that we do. We do at least 2 a year. And I'll say we do good prizes. And if you want voting power, we're going to have that one coming up to say, which book are we reading next? So you have the power to shape this course and choose your own Book Talk Made Me podcast adventure. If that sounds exciting for you, I'd say please head over to our Instagram at booktalkmademe_pod, head to the link in our bio, and join up for whatever membership you would like. We appreciate your support to keep this pod running and keep it as unhinged as always. So with that, let's get into some shout outs. So I was quickly running through, and we have a lot of books that this one covers. So I'm just going to go ahead and say these are spoilers for Fourth Wing, Hurricane Wars, From Blood and Ash, House of Sky and Breath, Zodiac Academy, House of Flame and Shadow, and ACOTAR. Those are the books we're covering in these. So if you don't want to be spoiled, I'd say like just end it here. But if you're okay with hearing any of the questions or discussion points from any of those books, then continue on with us, my friends. So the first shout outs, and again, these are coming from Spotify. So if you want to engage with any of these questions from any of our episodes, you can head over to Spotify and engage with the question of the week. We read them live here for everyone to join in on. So the first question is, what is the main reason that Dane sucks so much? Because he's a blonde male or because he's an insecure wannabe? Peyton O said, the reason Violet's bones break and dislocate so often is because she has a disease called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome that Rebecca Yarros also has. So she looks healthy. Also, Dane sucks. Oh, I think it's because we were talking about how, like, she's very frail, I guess, looking. Or healthy looking. I forgot where we were in this one. But yes, thank you, Peyton, for re-clarifying. I don't know if we mentioned that.
We did, but still helpful information for everyone to know.
Right, because I guess a disease, like, you don't have to look sick and frail to have a disease, I think is what she was trying to say. And we were like, oh, I thought everyone described her as weak and frail. And so when we're seeing this fan art of, like, a normal person, it's basically us having our own bias against this. And I thank you for mentioning that. So this is from Hurricane Wars. Who do you think Alaric looks like? Or do you also just picture Adam Driver? Sydney said, I just picture Adam Driver. It doesn't help that I've seen some fan art of the characters, and Alaric looks just like Kylo Ren. Paige said, I couldn't picture what he looked like the entire time I was reading. I didn't like it. I didn't hate it. But I was bored and made myself finish it. So that's fair. Next one comes from A War of Two Queens from Blood and Ash, Book 4. Are you team joining, or do you think a Poppy Cass Kieran threesome is a bad idea? Christina Gonzalez said, ugh, I wanted it so bad, but the actual scene made it like, oh, this way we can pretend nothing actually happened because Poppy didn't know who was doing what. Yes.
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 Agreed.
So weird.
I really wanted, like, I was really hyped for this threesome. And that's, it seems weird to say. But I really was hoping for this, and it was very ugh. I know you guys felt the same. We had lots of thoughts and feelings on this one.
I did not want this threesome, and just, like, look what it has now produced. All the icks.
It could have been good. Could have been good. We could have had a contender. This comes to us from House of Sky and Breath, which is Crescent City, Book 2. The question was, do you want to see Bridget's reaction video to the end of Hosab? And Steph said, yes! 3 exclamation points. Maybe we'll have to throw that one on the Patreon.
I will throw it on the Patreon. Just be aware, it is. Your girl had to process a lot, and my face does not do a lot of reactions.
Yeah. It may be a little bit to be desired there.
I'll make it fun. I'll include the screenshots afterwards after my brain process. And I was like, what the fuck?
There's like a buffering period. Which was like, I'm reading.
It was like an hour.
It was. And Hilda and I were still at work. And we're like, ah, yes, it has finally landed. Here we go.
Like, the breakthrough has happened. Here are all the texts.
This next question comes from Zodiac Academy Book 3, The Reckoning. Of course, this is a spoiler, which I warned you about. But did you guess the twins' order forms before they emerged? Math said, I didn't guess, but I spoil myself on YouTube. which I had to Google. I'm not going to lie, math. You wrote YTB, and I was like, what is YTB? Is this like a Goodreads abbreviation? Is this like a competitor to Goodreads? Like, what is this? As someone who has spent a bulk of her career in social media, I should be ashamed to say I didn't immediately pick up this was YouTube. So YouTube. YTB.
I was also confused.
I was just like, we're rolling with it. But now I feel super old.
Super old. She's like, I don't know. I'm going to blame it on the wine that I had during this recording where I'm like, what is this? What acronym is this? So you stumped us. You done stumped us real good, math. The next question comes from a House of Flame and Shadow Reactions Part 2. And the question was, are you happy with how HoFast ended? Would you have changed anything? Kristen said, oh, this was nice. You guys are amazing. Love listening to you. I'm only halfway through the audiobook, but I can't stop listening to your summary. Just a thought. Clearly, Moore is the girl for Hypaxia.
I would not hate that. I would not hate that.
I would not hate that either.
That would be pretty awesome.
I almost don't want to imagine that because it'd be so great that I'm setting myself up for these hype. Yeah.
We're going to fall into the same trap where we like
– I know. Where we
romanticize the series and come up with all the different theories and then she's going to come out of the book and we're just going to be – disappointed the entire time because it's not what we wanted.
But Kristen, I agree 100%. And thank you for the sweet, kind words. Our next friend. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say, I spent a good time trying to make sure I pronounce this correctly because this is a lot of words, a lot of letters mixed together. So please bear with me because I'm not going to get this right. And this is no reflection on your username. This is a reflection on we're not pronunciation queens. We're just not. So this is... from a Frey T Janorse goddess. I think I got that right. But if a Frey, I'm just going to abbreviate to a Frey. A Frey said, I liked that it was a happy ending, but it was very underwhelmed. It was kind of giving it starts with us. Yes. And what about Vic? She's still at the bottom of the trench. Hunt and her were so close. You know, I've seen a lot of people are like, justice for Vic. What happened to Victoria?
I forgot about her.
Maybe she's going to play a part in the next rumored book, A House of Many Waters. Or The House of Many Waters. That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's a part. Maybe she's a part of that.
Isn't she in the water? Yeah.
She is in the water.
You know what? Fan theory, you're hearing her first. Maybe the Ocean Queen nabbed her up. Like... maybe she's not at the bottom of the trench. Maybe the depth charger went there, got her, scooped her up, and she's living happily, not in a box. This is my headcanon. This is what has happened. We have one more. This is from A Court of Thorns and Roses. What did you think about this episode? Jay said, please tell me why I think of the Naga as a giant evil leech with limbs and shark teeth, which is absolutely not how it's described. I say I feel like that tracks. Like, I accept this. A leech. Kind of like the Midgard worm, then?
That's what I was going to say. It's giving the worm vibes.
But it's got limbs. So it's like a lizardy worm with shark teeth. I mean, that's terrifying.
I don't know why flubber just popped into my head.
Like the green bouncy substance?
Wasn't there like a movie where flubber was like a body type where it was just like an outline and it's Never mind. I'll just go to bed.
I don't know. But at no point did Flipper have shark teeth and was an evil leech.
That we know of.
I'm sure there's some dark, dark version of Flipper out there on the internets. So those are all of our Spotify questions of the week. And want to give a quick shout out to Haley. Haley left us this beautiful review on Apple. She said, love this podcast and everything they have to say and talk about. They always make me giggle. Thank you.
You make me giggle.
Yes. And definitely recommend this podcast. So thank you so much, Haley. Remember, the best way to support the podcast is to go to Apple Podcasts, give us a rating or review, and help us find more book talk lovers like yourselves so we can have more excellent book talk discussions and get exposed to more books. Well, friends, I don't know if we've convinced you to read Manacle, but I'm excited to go back and finish because I'm at 71%. This is my agenda for tonight, which it's already done, but I think Hilda and I are going to catch up, and we'll catch you guys in part 2 next time.
Let you know how it ends. And we'll let you know if we emotionally recovered from this.
I'll take a screenshot of what I look like after reading this, just like everyone else on TikTok did.
Yeah.
Hold on. Come on. We'll add
it to the Patreon account.
We'll do it. We'll do it.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out if they took the screenshot like at the end or at the end of the epilogue. Probably at the like end end.
I don't know. We'll see. It'll just be like, I mean, they looked like someone was just like, you're like, something has happened devastatingly and they are not emotionally recovered. Like, oh, I don't want to spoil anything, so I'm not going to say anything from another book. But, you know, when a certain character dies that you really, really liked and you're like, justice for this fire person.
Mm.
That's how I felt like they looked. And if you know, you know. On that note, I'd say good night, happy reading, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.